This morning's sermon scriptures are taken from Hebrews chapter 1 and chapter 2. Hebrews 1, verses 1 through 4. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for his sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited to his superior to theirs. And now, Hebrews 2, verses 5 through 12. It is not to angels that he has subjected the world to come, about which we are speaking. But there is a place where someone has testified. What is man that you are mindful of him, the Son of Man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor and put everything under his feet. In putting everything under him, God left nothing that is subject to him. Yet at present we do not see everything subject to him. But we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everybody. In bringing many sons to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the author of their salvation perfect through suffering. Both the one who makes men holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers. He says, "I will declare your name to my brothers. In the presence of the congregation, I will sing your praises." This is God's holy word.
Let's pray. God, we do thank you for your written word. And I pray that your spirit is active upon us in this time of meditation, that our own faith would be strengthened and deepened for your praise and for your blessing. Amen. As we look at chapter 2 and brief parts of chapter 2 this morning, in chapter 2, verse 1, there's that wonderful word that I like to talk about, therefore. So when you come across therefore, you got to go back and reread or read for the first time chapter 1. We have to pay more careful attention to what we have heard so that we do not drift away. That's kind of the lesson from chapter 1. Pay more careful attention to what we have heard so that we do not drift away. Have you been out there on the water and the anchor let loose and you found yourself drifting away? I did that once and I don't know that I've ever going on the ocean again. So not good to be drifted away. Today's word, drifting away, could be substituted by distraction, to be distracted. I was driving to Swanton early in the morning this week. At Delta by the greenhouse, you know, and you come up to the traffic light there, and I was in the right lane or the center lane. I was going to go straight, and a pickup truck with a landscape trailer on the back just kind of kept going, and it's red and just made the turn. Didn't stop. My assumption is that driver was a bit distracted. Fortunately, there was nobody coming from the other direction, and maybe they felt safe, but I've always been told that that red light means stop. Now, unfortunately, long ago, I did run a red light, but nobody was around, so I'm paying attention to that, but we have those signs. Well, the anchor in Scripture, that anchor is an illustration of Jesus. What we have heard about and from Jesus, we have to pay more careful attention to so that we do not drift away in our faith. So as we look at chapter 2, some of the key things that jumped out of the page to me, there's this aspect of great salvation proclaimed by our Lord Jesus, a great salvation confirmed to us by those who heard him. Now, when I ask the children or I ask you, have you seen Jesus? Have you physically seen Jesus? We do not live in that time when Jesus walked the earth, but confirmed to us by those who heard him. There were people alive when Jesus walked. They heard and they wrote down, confirmed the great salvation proclaimed by Jesus Christ. And we are blessed to have that written word of Scripture to read and hear today. It was a message spoken by angels. A message spoken by angels refers to the Old Testament law of Moses, the Mosaic law. You can check that out in Deuteronomy 33:2 or Acts 7:53. Spoken by angels, given by angels, but that's the older, former message. We have this newer message proclaimed by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's a great salvation. We are saved by a great Savior. We are saved from a great penalty. And our salvation is given because of a great cost. A great Savior saved from a great penalty, given at a great cost. The great salvation that we have through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then as we start to look at chapter 2, verse 5, we have this quote from Psalm 8, verses 4 through 6. What is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? You ever wonder about that? I've been trying to grow some grass seed, and the other morning I was out watering the grass seed, and it was still dark, and the stars were pretty bright. And in that expanse of the sky, we can see pretty small and inconsequential, but and wonder about, why does God care for us? He cares for us because he loves us. He created us. What is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor and put everything under his feet. We're a little lower than the angels. That's the way God created us and placed us. The smallness of humankind in relation to the greatness of God and the greatness of God's creation. And he gave dominion to man, to humankind. In the aspect of the deity of Jesus, Jesus is superior to the angels. He's superior to us. And yet, this aspect of Psalm 8, because Jesus was lowered from heaven in becoming one of us, the writer of Hebrews is speaking to the humanity of Jesus, that Jesus is both fully God and fully human. And there was a false teaching back in that day, and really still goes on today, where they question that Jesus truly was human. But the truth of the gospel, Jesus is fully God and fully human. And as we look at these passages from Psalm 8, at present, we do not see everything subject to him, to Jesus, but we see Jesus. We see Jesus. Understanding of faith, understanding of life, understanding of the world comes as we see Jesus. And that's why I titled the sermon, Emmanuel, God with Us. Buffy said she wanted to sing Emmanuel, God with Us this morning, as we will in Advent time, but, you know, it's in there in the Scriptures. Emmanuel, God with Us. We see Jesus through the Scriptures. We don't have dominion over the world. The promise of Psalm 8 is not fulfilled. That's going to be fulfilled through Jesus Christ, our Lord. It's not fulfilled yet. So life is beyond our control. We're not in charge. Believe it or not, as much as we want to be in charge, life happens. Life happens. A hurricane, a tornado, accidents, death. It's beyond our control. And in all those times, the anchor point is Jesus. We see Jesus with the eye of faith. Charles Spurgeon, theologian, describes faith as the eye of the soul. The eye of the soul. Whenever we see or read about sight and vision in the Scripture, it's an illustration, it's a symbol pointing us to the light of Jesus Christ our Lord. We do not see Jesus with our physical eyes. We see Jesus with the eyes of our faith, the eyes of our hearts. Consider all of those people that truly got to see Jesus with their physical eye. All those people that lived when Jesus walked the earth and he taught and he did the signs and the miracles, they saw Jesus with their eyes. And many of them, they resisted him, they resented him, they mocked him, they rejected him, they crucified him. So seeing Jesus with the eye, the physical eye, is one thing. But we see Jesus now. We see Jesus continually. Not with the physical eye, but the eye of our faith. Hebrews 12:2. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So how do we see Jesus? How do you see Jesus? Do you see Jesus as the one who loves you? Do you see Jesus as the one who loves all sinners and died for all sinners? Do you see Jesus as your Savior? Do you see Jesus as your Master, the one who really is in charge or to be in charge of your life? Do you see Jesus as your friend? Do you see Jesus as your healer? And when and where? Do you see Jesus at home? Do you see him at work? Do you see him in the park? Do you see Jesus in the world? We see Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus left heaven to become one of us, little lower than the angels. He came in humility, and he came to suffer. And in his suffering, he defeated the power of death. Not just the physical death in this world, but we don't need to fear death, because Jesus is the anchor of our faith, to be the anchor of our lives. In verse 10, he was made perfect through suffering. It was a necessary suffering. Now, I have lots of conversations. I've got four conversations going on right now with individuals that are suffering in different aspects of life. And they have these questions. And I don't have all the answers, because it's Jesus that has all the answers to our questions. But he was made perfect through suffering. And while we don't want to suffer, suffering is part of the aspect of teaching us, not only about life, but teaching us about Jesus and how we see him. Because in Jesus, there is real love. In Jesus, there is real giving, because it involves sacrifice. Sacrifice. And then verse 11, both the one who makes men holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers. Family. I wish I had a perfect family. Got the perfect wife, perfect son, perfect daughter-in-law. She's not listening. Do I have to say perfect daughter? I don't have a perfect family. You know what? They don't have a perfect father or husband or friend. We accept family for who they are, their uniqueness, their warts and all. There's ill treatment and there's pain and there's suffering. But the anchor point is Jesus died for us all, and he binds us together on this World Communion Sunday. We follow Jesus. Jesus shows us the path through hardship. He shows us the path through suffering, making our way to something greater. Because Jesus, He teaches us that we were made, we are created for honor and for glory and to reflect God's love for us. Jesus is the reflection of God's glory. Emmanuel, God with us. And so as we go forth, we pray that people see Jesus in us and through us for his glory. Amen. Please be aware that for the unison prayer as part of our communion service, you can turn to page 4 in your bulletin as we share that together, or I believe it will be on the screen. On this World Communion Sunday, know that Christ is Lord of all believers in every land, every nation. He is God's Son, and he is our Redeemer. And Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. You who come to me shall not hunger. You who believe in me shall never thirst." So in company with all who hunger for spiritual food, we come to this table to know the risen Christ in the sharing of this life-giving bread and this life-renewing fruit of the vine. So let us unite in our unison prayer. Lord, on this day, we will walk along with the worldwide Christian church, observe and celebrate the sacrament of remembrance. We come before you as repentant people, confessing our sin and seeking your grace. Though you created creation good, the world today is fractured and polarized and troubled. Such is the condition of the universal church too. In faith, as Jesus intends, the sacrament is an act of sacrifice, love, and unity. As we come to the table this morning, may each strive ever more diligently to be the disciples that Jesus teaches us and commands us to be. In his name we pray. Amen. A believer in Christ becomes a new person altogether. The past is finished and gone. Everything has become fresh and new. Believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. In this sacrament, we remember that night on which Jesus would be betrayed, as he had first gathered in the upper room with the disciples. And while they were celebrating the Passover meal, Jesus took bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you." And Jesus took the cup, and he gave it to them, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's bow in prayer. Gracious Lord God, today we are unified at your table with Christians all around the world. As we join them in spirit, regardless of our differences, may we identify closely with them through concern and compassion, through faith and through love. We pray that you would bless this bread and this fruit of the vine. Bless us as we receive these elements in remembrance of him who died for us all. Amen. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. We take them in remembrance that Christ died for us and he was raised for us. Come, for now things are ready. I invite our servers. Thank you. the body of Christ, broken for you, remembering him, take and eat. The blood of Christ shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Remembering him, take and drink. Thank you. May this Holy Communion be the living example of God's love and acceptance of His people, as promised in the birth, life, death, and resurrection of His Son. Rejoice in the blessing you have received here. Amen.
It was fitting that God should make the author of our salvation perfect through suffering, saved by a great Savior at a great cost, thanking God for His priceless gift. Our closing song will be Crown Him. Following the spoken benediction, we will sing verse 4 of Jesus Paid It All. 210 in your hymnal will also be found on the overhead. Please rise as you're able and join us.
As you prepare to go into the world, I want you to be mindful of those people who you have seen Jesus work through in your life. Who has been Jesus to you? And go and do likewise. Amen.